There's a new team on the rise in the Willamette Valley, and no, it's not the Oregon Ducks. The Willamette Valley Jaguars are your local professional basketball team, competing throughout the Pacific Northwest, representing the Willamette Valley region in the Basketball League, or TBL. The Jaguars are composed of players from across the country who grind every single day to live out their dreams of playing professionally. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, we take you behind the scenes on the latest updates on all things Jaguars and get a firsthand account of what it takes to make it in the Basketball League. This is Jaguars Beyond the Baseline. Welcome in to Jags Beyond the Baseline. I'm your host, Isaac Doobie, here on this Monday recording here, the day before it airs on KWVA on a Tuesday. I'm here with Davion Burdett. Davion, how you doing today?
Man, I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I heard you worked a little bit today. Not the typical day off that you'd get. Most players try to take a day on Monday, typically, because typically in the routine, the Monday is the day off for you guys, but you had to work a little bit today.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh. I got that ready.
I had to get it in, man. You know, I got to work outside of work.
How's Salem treating you as far as just the place, the area?
Salem's pretty good. I'm very familiar with it already.
Really?
So it's like, it's kind of home away from home.
Mm-hmm. I know you said you played at Corbin, but do you live in Salem?
Yeah, I live in Salem.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I live in Salem.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the community there? I haven't spent much time up there, but what do you think of it?
To be honest, like, the community aspect out there is really, like, big, to be honest. Like, especially the Salem Capitals being out there.
Really?
I kind of, like, seen them form from year one.
Yeah.
So just seeing it grow and not to really talk about all about the Salem Capitals,
no,
but my brother plays for them. So I kind of, like, got the big picture of the aspect of the community out there.
That's
so
dope.
It's definitely grown over the years, and you would think I play for the Capitals the way, like, I'm kind of, like, known out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you'd follow the team. You'd probably go to a decent amount of the games.
Yeah,
and they have a pretty decent following. Like they've got
legit
some fans that travel pretty well when they come down to Corvallis.
Bro, they got fans to watch them play the Jaguars.
But
bro, they got fans going to Montana.
Really, all the way up to Great Falls.
Literally,
wow, that's crazy. Oh my gosh, and that's a long road trip. Let's talk about this past weekend against Salem. You guys went over to play the Capitals back last Friday.
Yep.
And one thing about this team I keep seeing in following them, in looking at who's playing, is there's been a lot of moving parts. There have been 10 players that have been released over the course of this year. But I'm curious from your standpoint, from the time you've been with the team. I know you were on the team early in the year and then got cut, and now you're back on the team.
Yeah.
What have you seen behind the scenes that you've kind of had to adjust quickly, to have to develop chemistry quickly with all these different players and all these things shifting around? What has that been like for you?
To be honest, like, from the start of training camp until now, it's been like so many different guys, like, that I initially thought was going to be, like, the original guys on the team. So kind of, like, befriending them and, like, building a chemistry and bond on and off the court.
Mm.
It was kind of, like, at first it was a little tough a little bit just because we didn't really know, like you said, things have been changing every week almost. So I feel like when we finally found our, like, core, every week we got better together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we compete. And, yeah, the guys that we have now, yeah, I feel like we play together. We just got to find a way to, like, compete for all four quarters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, but other than that, I feel like our chemistry on and off the court, we good. We all like each other. Nobody like doesn't like each other. And even the guys who were already in here, who were already here, and the ones that left, got cut, or whatever you want to call it, left because personal reasons, they still part of the Jag family as well. Like, yeah. We still show them love.
Yeah.
And they still give love back. And, yeah, it was just like we all locked in still regardless. Once you put on a Jag jersey, you locked in.
Yeah. And there was a stretch where when Coach Stade took over that you guys were on a pretty good streak of, especially on the offensive end, being able to score 100 points for 8 or 9 consecutive games, right. And really being able to put some scoring together, and on the offensive end, being very efficient. I think that's the thing that's stood out to me, at least. But taking a look at this last loss against the Salem Capitals, a 139-98 final. It was a game where the Capitals really took advantage of the Jaguars down low, beat you guys in the rebounding battle. 70-41 is a tough number, or a tough advantage to kind of have to come back from. But you guys did do a good job of limiting the turnovers a little bit and forcing Salem into a few mistakes. You guys forced 19 turnovers and 15 steals. Is that something that's emphasized in practice, is taking care of the ball and also being aggressive on defense in order to get turnovers?
Yes, for sure. Defense wins games. So, like, not turning it over and locking up as well, it's kind of like that's what gives us our first, like, initial push in the first quarter, to be honest, because we'd be, like, so fired up and ready to go and bought in that everybody's, like, competing hard because the score is 0-0. So, like, we'd be, like, defensively, we'd be ready, locked in, ready to go. And then offensively, we just cherish possessions. So it's like,
yeah,
once it's time to get a bucket or get a stop, we just be ready. And we do emphasize that in practice as well. Like,
yeah,
going into the Salem game, we had guys picking up 94 in practice. We don't pick up 94 feet, like, ever. So when we were, like, emphasizing that in practice, we kind of, like, showed it the first half of the game before it kind of got ugly.
So Robert Upshaw didn't play for the Capitals. I don't know if he's still on the roster, but I'm not seeing him on the box score. Am I wrong? Did he play?
Nah, he didn't play. Yeah. He actually plays for Montana now.
Oh, he now plays for Great Falls.
Yeah.
He just played for the Capitals against the Jaguars like 2 weeks ago.
Nah, yeah, he did. They Yeah,
that's a stacked. That's a stacked team,
bro. Like the Montana cheating, bro. Wow. They're cheating.
That's a story. Oh my gosh, best team in the conference. But I did see Seattle actually beat them this weekend.
They did.
Seattle beat them in both games.
I didn't know that.
The most recent one was by 2 points. But I want to ask you about this rebounding battle. Robert Upshaw didn't play, so it wasn't as much of a problem of having this massive force that you guys have to deal with. But you guys have lost Jordan Robinson, who was your guys' main, the right. Jaguars' main rebounder. Kind of did a lot of the dirty work down low for you guys. What has the battle been like down low with Jordan leaving? Who's kind of stepped in as like, all right, I'm going to try to take the load on as being the big man or being the traditional big man to do the dirty work down low.
Right. First off, shout out to my boy, J-Rod. I would say what really, like, changed the course of that game, I don't know if y'all noticed, but we didn't have Tavo that game. So he was really, like, a big – he's kind of stepped up once everybody leave. I know you peeped his – he just had 40 – against Montana, he had like 40 and maybe like 16, 15 rebounds. But yeah, he didn't play versus the Capitals this past weekend. So that kind of like made our rebounding numbers drop a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Capitals, their bigs are pretty solid. So when you don't have bigs to like kind of clash with them, that rebounding battle is like already kind of like lost in a way. But we competed.
Yeah, and Tavion was the one who kind of fought the battle against Robert Upshaw and tried to do his best. I stand corrected. It was actually in a two-game series for Seattle and Great Falls. Seattle won the first one, 133-128, but then Great Falls came back, won the second one the next day, 117-115.
Oh,
so
okay.
Kind of splitting the series there, but still
did,
like...
Wait, so did Robert play? You know?
I am not totally sure. I can look, but this is news to me that he signed with them.
Oh, you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm just saying. That's funny. I'm pretty sure though.
No, he did.
Yeah, he did.
I'm seeing the stat line here. Plays about, 20 minutes a game. That's exactly what he did here. About 18 points in 22 minutes. Not bad. 7-for-13 from the floor is not the typical line you see from him because he dunks the basketball on pretty much every shot he attempts. But interesting, though. He's now on Great Falls. That team is probably going to make a deep postseason run. That team is really dangerous.
They're acting like the 2016-2017 Warriors.
Yeah. Talk about the leadership for this team and how it's had to change a bit with LJ leaving, with Jordan leaving. Yep. There have been a lot of new leaders week after week. There's someone new that needs to step up in order to keep with the other team and score a certain amount of points or defend their best player.
Right.
This past weekend, it was Brandon and Troy. Troy's kind of been a staple all year. Brandon's really stepped into a leadership role in the last game against Salem. Talk about how many different leaders you guys have had and how many people have had to step into that role.
Okay, so for me personally, being like the second youngest on the team after Braden, I've kind of been looking at all the guys as a leader because they're one older than me, more experienced, and like I like to learn and I like to always be open to growth. So just taking advice from all of them, soaking up game from each and every one of them that they're bringing. For example, early in the season, I was taking a lot of game from my boy Isaac. I took a lot of game from Coach Drake. Shout out him. I took a lot of game from B as well. That's my guy. That's like really Unk. That's big bro Unk. But just everybody. Like my boy Ace, my boy Ryan, my boy T-Raw. Like everybody. I've just been soaking up game from all of them, like I said. And everybody just been their own leader in a way. Like even me, I stepped into some leader role as like the energy guy, as in making sure practice is like turned up or just being like always ready in that perspective. So I would say everybody's kind of showed their leadership traits and abilities. But for the most part, our captain, Brandon, for sure. He's definitely like took on the leadership role for sure.
And you mentioned Brandon. He had a really great game and had a great stat line in that game against Salem. He really led the way. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 steals. Forcing turnovers is something he's been doing all year really well. What is his presence like as a leader? And what specific leadership kind of traits or things have you learned from him?
To be honest, I soaked up a lot of game from B. He being like, I'm pretty sure he's the oldest on our team. And he has a lot of like professional experience already. So when the whole thing from our coaches switching and all the players, different players we were having, I was really kind of talking to him the most, like using him as a, I guess you could say, outlet. Because when I got cut myself, I kind of felt a type of way and I didn't really like know who to go to or talk to about the situation. And like I said, I went to B and he gave me a lot of advice and just for me to stay ready to keep coming to practice regardless, because like I feel like during practice, like in the game, I don't really get a lot of minutes if I do play, right? So I feel like I get the guys like really ready for whoever we're finna play this week, because I'll come into practice like really intense, really like bringing the energy and playing like hard, as in how they would be getting played during during the TBL. Like, I feel like the competitive nature kind of starts with me at practice, and then everybody, the whole gym starts getting competitive, and then it kind of feels like the game. Like, sometimes we even play harder at practice than we do in the game sometimes against each other. I'm like, bro, why we can't go play like that?
Yeah.
Why we can't? We be ready to kill each other at practice.
Yeah.
I'll be like, bro, we need to go do that to them, the other guys that we don't even like. Like, bro. But B really definitely has been, like, a steady presence, a steady leader. And, yeah, he's just, like I said, I soaked up a lot of game from him.
What – you talk about how the standard and the competitiveness in practice is really high. Like, what have you seen that, like, makes you feel that way? Like, what's happened? That's interesting. I haven't heard much about that or in practice, like, what's happening.
Like, bro, we be talking, like, during – because we obviously, like, we after we do our plays, we go over our plays, we do our drills, like, regular practice stuff, and then we scrimmage.
Okay.
So – like, our scrimmages really be, like, intense. Like, we don't want to lose. Like, we be talking mess. Like, like, it'd be fun, though. Like, and it's all love at the end of the day. So the practice atmosphere is just – some days it has its lows, but we be trying to stack days. And lately, like, the past couple weeks, since Coach Mary got here, we've been stacking – a lot of good days. Not saying we didn't have good days when Coach Drake was here, because we definitely, he started the foundation and like, he definitely like bred our group.
Yeah.
But we definitely stacked a lot of great days when Coach Mary got here, and practices have just been getting real competitive and intense. And yeah, everybody just be bought in, and then we bring it to the game the first quarter, second quarter, and then as soon as the team throw their punch at us, we kind of just demoralize, and then it gets downhill from there. But overall, we be competing and it's fun.
Yeah, there have been a few games where it's gotten into right around the fourth quarter when other teams able to pull away.
Yeah.
But still looking for that kind of full complete performance from one end to the next, like a complete performance where you're putting your best foot out there and doing your best. The Jaguars are, I think you can attest to this too, like still looking for their best, most complete performance of the year.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to say though, the real glue to our team, to be honest, is Coach Jordan. She's the glue to our team. Like, she stays solid, never switched up. She's been here since last year. And Coach Jordan really like has been the glue. Like, I could say all of the guys on the team really rocks with Coach Jordan. Like, we go to her. Sometimes we'll go to her before we go to Coach Mary in a way, just because of that. She's been here all season, that comfortability, that formality with her. But, yeah, Coach Jordan is really, like, the glue of the team.
Yeah. And one thing that I heard from the team is that she kind of took the lead on the week of the transition week from going from Coach Drake to Coach Coach Mary Stade, and that was the week that you guys ended up getting the first win of the year. So Jordan's been, when she took on that leadership role as kind of the head coach, in kind of letting Coach Mary kind of slowly take over and take the reins, like she made the most of her opportunity. Absolutely.
Facts. They definitely be tag teaming the job well, no cap.
Yeah.
They definitely do a good job.
Okay. Another person I want to talk about and shout out who's been a staple of this team all year is Troy.
My boy, Trevor, T-Roy, T-Roy.
What have you picked up from him as far as leadership, as far as his game? He's a great three-point shooter. He does a lot really well. And I think one of the reasons the Jaguars are one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league is a big part of it is because of him.
For sure. My boy Trouble, he brings that same veteran leadership as Brandon. He played overseas plenty of places. And him just bringing that like, alpha in a way, it definitely gives, like, something like, oh, okay, because I see what, like, the standard is.
Yeah.
So, Troy really, like, definitely, I would say for me, what I picked up from Troy, he just keeps me going in the game. Like, he keeps my confidence high. Like, he always tell me, like, bro, they can't guard you, bro. They can't mess with you, bro. Like, you could go at whoever. Like, he always just be gassing me up. But then he always giving me game, like, how I could improve as well. But, yeah, my boy Troy always gassed me up. And that's what I kind of soaked up from him. He always keep my confidence high for sure.
He's a funny character. I like him a lot.
He's hilarious, bro. Ask him. Ask him. Whenever you get a chance, just ask him to do his best Draco impression.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's funny. I got him. Next time he's on the show, I'll have to talk to him and ask him.
Bro, hilarious, bro. That's my guy, though.
I want to go into your specific story and your individual story as far as your journey and how you got to the Jaguars and started playing for the Jaguars. You said you're originally from Las Vegas.
Yep, I'm from Vegas. Shout out to the 702, man.
Yeah. What brought you to Oregon?
So I graduated 2020. That was a COVID year. Actually, so way 2016 maybe, I moved down to Salem 1 year. I went to South Salem High School. My brother coached over there. And yeah, I came out here, played over there, but I ended up moving back to Vegas my junior and senior year and just finished it out there. But so I was kind of already a little familiar with Salem already and just Oregon in general. And I already knew that, like, it was a place I wanted to be. So, and my favorite college team has always been Oregon growing up, Oregon Ducks growing up.
Yeah. Really?
So, like I said, I graduated 2020. I ended up going to Corbin University straight out of high school. I played there that COVID year, got the year back because everybody got COVID year back. So I played there for 2 years, and then I left at the term of the second year, and then I ended up going to Lane Community College in Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played there a year, transferred again, ended up graduating and playing and graduating at Lynn Benton Community College.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated with a associate's in general studies, and now I'm kind of like using the TBL as opportunity to get film and more like just exposure for myself. I'm trying to go back to school. That's really the main goal, because right now I'm playing on contract to like maintain my eligibility. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm just grateful, to be honest, man. It's been a long journey. I've definitely grown each place, each pit stop that I've been, and I'm just happy to keep growing, keep learning, and keep being able to get better. And also, I tore my meniscus last season at Lynn Benton.
Oh.
So right now this is really just like a see where I'm at, see how I could compete, see where my body at. I got surgery, I did rehab, so like I'm 100%. But this is just like I sat last season out, so this is just for me to see where I'm at and where I could be and where I need to be.
Yeah. So you said you started at Corbin, you went to Lane, then Lynn Benton, and you decided to kind of settle and live in Salem.
Yep.
Of all the places, when you were going from Corbin to Lane over here in Eugene to Lynn Benton, like, why Salem? Like, what appealed you about what about Salem appealed to you that you were drawn to and wanted to stay there and kind of plant some roots there and work there and kind of set your footing there?
Right. Salem, like I said, when I went there my sophomore year of high school, I was already kind of established, already knew a good amount of people out there. My brother lives out there and his wife. So it was kind of like I said, a home away from home. I know more people out there, all my connections out there. I had everything set up out there already for me. So it was kind of more of a like a no-brainer out of Eugene and Corvallis area. I was actually living in Salem when I went to Lynn Benton. So
you would drive over?
Yeah, because I was staying like deep South Salem. So it was like 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was not really far. The freeway was right there.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Okay. All right. So you played the first two games of the year, or first two games very early in the year.
I played the first week. The second week we played the Capitals.
Okay. Well, you played a couple games early in the year, back in middle of March, and then you didn't play another game for the Jaguars. And just looking at like your game log of when you played games until just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
What do you do during like 2 months where you don't have basketball? Do you work out to or play somewhere else to stay in shape and keep your game up to speed?
Definitely, as a hooper, definitely got to stay in the gym. Basketball is all around. It's a full-time job as well. Yeah. So it's like, as a hooper, I'm always in the gym consistently for sure. But I was still going to practice and stuff. Like I said, I was still bringing that energy to practice. So those 2 months I wasn't playing, I was just inactive for the games. But I was still going to practice. I was coming to team events. Like, I was still, staying in shape, getting work. Like I said, basketball is a 24-hour. So, I was always staying in the gym, always stay ready. You got to be ready. You got to stay ready so you don't got to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, I'm always in the gym, man. So, I'm always, it's like no stopping. Those 2 months of me not playing wasn't stopping, no motion.
Yeah. Any special achievements that you kind of pride yourself on during your time, during your entire basketball journey? It doesn't have to be just the Jaguars. As far as with Corbin, with Lynn Benton, I couldn't find much on you as far as your playing time with Corbin or Lane, but I found a little bit on Lynn Benton.
Yeah, at Corbin, it's two teams. It's a gold squad, and there's like the main team or whatever. So my 2 years at Corbin, I was playing on like the second team. So what made me go JUCO initially was on the gold squad, we played all the JUCOs like around here.
Got it.
So I'm like, bro, I'm dropping 30 every game on these guys. I might as well just go play JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I ended up going to Lane. Lane went to Lane. It was kind of iffy situation. And
how so?
It's just like I could have – the head coach – it was the head assistant coach from Corbin. He got the head coach job at Lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking like it's going to be some – like I might as well go where I'm comfortable. Like I was just at Corbin. Mm-hmm. He know me. He know my game. Like it's going to be good. Went there. It was just kind of like a whole chaotic situation, like – this team was just kind of last minute put together. And, it was just a whole, like, stuff that unfortunately didn't work out in my favor.
Mm.
I'm always grateful. I'm definitely grateful for the opportunity and for, like, everything that happened for me to get to that situation. Because, like I said, I've definitely grown and I definitely got better out of that situation. So, it was good, but it just wasn't the right fit for me, so ended up transferring from there, went to Lynn Benton, played like 18, 20 minutes a game. I think I averaged like 11 points, three rebounds, like three assists, and
played in most games in the year.
I had a pretty solid year at Lynn Benton. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, we went to Sweet 16. We would have won that game, but literally the game before, the game to go to the Sweet 16, that's when I tore my meniscus.
Oh, whoa. Okay, so you guys were in I didn't realize that. You were in a deep playoff run and had hopes in order to win it all, but ended up getting injured kind of on the way in the middle of your playoff run.
Literally, the game we lost by like 12 or 13, and literally leading up into those games, I was probably averaging like 18, 19 a game.
Wow, that's crazy. So you already have 2 years of college under your belt, of
technically
two college seasons, right?
Okay, so I played two legit seasons, like that counted towards my freshman and sophomore year.
Okay.
But I've been in college 4 years. I did two at Corbin and then the two JUCO years.
But you only played two full years, so that's – that only count two towards full seasons towards your eligibility.
Yep.
So you still have three, right? Or
depending on what level I go to.
Yeah, got it.
In the, I know you heard the JUCO rule. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. just depending on my situation, what God got work planned for me, I either have, I literally have like 2 to 4 years, including a redshirt year. So I'm just trying to make the most of my opportunity before I just decide to drop it all and go pro, because I want to get my degree.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said you wanted to try out, or you were trying out for University of San Diego,
yep,
right?
Did that.
Down for the Toreros. Yep. How did that go?
Went out there, had camp. I feel like I killed it. We played solid. The competition was high.
Yeah.
It's always kind of iffy at first when you just kind of thrown on the team with random guys. Like, you don't really know. Like, but I went out there. I did my thing. Played solid. My team, they had like a winner's court and a loser's court going. And the team I was on, we was on winner's court for most of the day. And
okay.
Well, yeah, I did. I played solid. I'm low-key still waiting to hear back from the coaches over there. We talked a little bit like 2 days ago, but you know how I go to transfer portals, active. Like, they could go get a 6'8 guy right
now.
Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard, the politics in it, but I'm still open, still looking around. I'm trying to, like I said, my main goal is to go back to school. So that's what I'm still open to it. That's what I'm trying to do for sure.
And what are you trying to study if you go to school? Because you probably have studied a bunch of different things transferring from school to school. Yep. But what are you trying to get your degree in?
So I first was studying kinesiology. That's, if you don't know, it's just like all about the body and stuff. Some careers is like physical trainer, athletic trainer.
Yeah.
But I was doing that for most of my time at Corbin and at Lane. But when I transferred to Lynn Benton, it was just a whole situation where I just had a bunch of credits. And it was like, Lynn Benton actually didn't have, like, Lynn Benton didn't have a good, actually, I don't think they had kinesiology, like, at all. So I was like, all right, I just got a bunch of credits. I'm finna just get my degree in general studies.
Yeah.
So
it gets pretty messy when you try to transfer over from school to school with, completely different.
But I'm thinking of when I go back to the 4 year, I'm thinking of getting either doing kinesiology again, just because I already have it built up, or I'm kind of big into computers and stuff.
Yeah.
So I might do computer science, maybe like something in the IT field, but.
You like coding? Are you a big coder?
Literally, the thing that makes me like, I don't want to do computer science because I'm not trying to be coding. Like,
coding is like the strangest language that anybody has ever invented. It makes no sense, but it's you can, learn some of it, it's definitely going to be a valuable skill in the next, 10 years.
Literally.
15 years.
Literally.
Interesting. Best of luck to you in all the places that you're trying out and hearing back from University of San Diego.
Yep, appreciate that.
And the Toreros. Any other tryouts lined up, or you kind of just waiting to hear back from them?
I'm actually in the process of sending a mass email out.
Okay.
I'm going to send a mass email out, get my name out there. And
nice.
I'm finna just try to see what open runs I can get to. I'm finna try to get some Oregon State runs this summer.
Okay, yeah.
Some Portland runs. Try to get myself in some Portland runs and some Portland State runs. Also, I'm going to try to get in some Western Oregon runs. Just like all the schools out here in Oregon.
Yeah.
Try to get in their runs, see what I could do. But, yeah, I'm definitely being very proactive in my career and just trying to get myself out there so I could be in somebody's program next year.
Let's look ahead for the Jaguars and for this team to finish the year playing their final game of the regular season against the Seattle Superhawks on Saturday. It'll be a home game. It'll be at 6:00. This is a Seattle team that has beaten you guys this year a few times. Just came off of a weekend where they went to Great Falls, got one win by 5, and then lost another one. But still, being able to beat Great Falls is no easy task. That's a tough thing to do. What do you think? This Seattle team is really dangerous. I'm going to focus first defensively. What do you guys think? What are you guys telling each other that you need to do in order to stop them? Because they have so many weapons in order to run the score up on
them. Right. The Seattle guys, they're low-key always been good.
Mm-hmm.
They're low-key every year. To be honest, I think to stop them, we just got to limit transition and really, like, get back. It's kind of been a weakness for us a little bit, is getting scored on in transition.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if we just get back, stay solid, don't allow second chance points, and don't allow them to get hot early, because they like to shoot a lot of threes, and yeah, they also make them.
Yeah.
So it's like if we just come ready, locked in defensively, and play together offensively, I feel like we could compete with them and definitely get a win to end our season.
You think that in transition, playing in transition is more of a game about athleticism, like letting the athleticism take over, or being smart in your decision making and not allowing them to get turnovers?
I feel like transition starts on, it's kind of like transition defense, it starts like on a want. Like, you gotta want to get back, you gotta want to be ready. Like, you're gonna play defense as much as you play offense in the
yep.
game. So it's like you can't just go down and want to play offense. As soon as the shot goes up, you're the last one back. Or if you turn it over, you're the last one back. Like, it's more of a want. So I feel like if we collectively as a team all want to get back and guard, I feel like transition buckets shouldn't even, like, be a real problem for us getting scored on, because we shouldn't be wanting to get scored on anyway. Like, we got to play defense. But, yeah, I feel like if we just shut them down in transition, we'll be good.
Yeah. You guys feel like going into this one, you guys are confident that you guys can contend with this team and make this a battle and potentially get a win to end the year?
I mean, I feel like we could compete with anybody,
mm-hmm.
to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it don't matter. Like, at the beginning of every game we've played in so far, like, we've been in it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll just say if we put it together for all four quarters, how we do the first two quarters, we'll definitely make it a game, and it'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Going back to you, this is kind of just wrapping up a little bit. What's a part of your game that you really pride yourself the most on, that you take some pride in? I can do this really well. This aspect of my game is really well developed.
I feel like I could shoot the ball really good. I could create my own shot pretty well. I'm also good at playmaking.
Okay.
I'm definitely like a playmaker. I know how to make something out of nothing.
That's valuable. Yeah.
I feel like I bring great leadership qualities, and I'm also very open to like being coachable, or like hearing different
yeah.
perspectives.
Yeah.
And I'm a big energy guy. I'm a great teammate. I like giving my teammates life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just like to win too. I'm a winner. I don't like to lose.
It's important.
I feel like I feel like I'm a big like factor. Whenever I get in the game, I feel like I could change the game in a way. So,
I like that. I don't hear that very often. That's good. That's great. That's awesome. If fans want to follow your career a little more or follow you on social media, where should they go to? Where should they check you out?
My Insta is at Young Davey with two Y's at the end. Young, Y-U-N-G, Young, D-A-V-Y-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Davey, with two Y's.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Davion. Best of luck this weekend. I'll be there. I'm excited for it.
Yes, sir.
Seattle last year, it was a tough one last year. And Seattle's obviously beaten the Jaguars up to this point here this season. But looking to change that.
Facts. We finna get back. It's cool.
Yeah.
We finna get backs.
That's what we're hoping for.
Definitely got to end the season.
It'll be a good one. Make sure to be there. Support the Jaguars at Crescent Valley High School this weekend at 6 p.m. on Saturday. They're playing the Seattle Superhawks to end their year. Should set up for a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening here on Jags Beyond the Baseline. I'm your host, Isaac Doobie. joined today by Davion Burdett. It's been great to have you. Really appreciate you.
Appreciate you having me, Isaac.
Hey, keep listening right here on KWVA 88.1 FM and KOCR Oak Ridge 91.5.
Go Jags.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Jaguars Beyond the Baseline. If you want to find out more about the Jaguars, you can go to their website at wvjags.com or follow them on Instagram at wvjags. Come hang out next Tuesday at 6 o'clock for another episode of Jags Beyond the Baseline. I'm Isaac Doobie, signing off on KWVA 88.1 FM and KOCR Oak Ridge 91.5.